Begin the current daf, Masechtas Bechoris daf Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Gimel Meveis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues in the second Mishnah, in the theme of this parak, of this Masecht, regarding laws of Bechoris, specifically like the topic of our parak, which is like Keach Uber Chamayre. We're talking about the laws of, one of the three laws of the laws of Bechoris, of the firstborn, which is that of the Petr Chamer, the firstborn of the donkey. Now, that the Mishnah continues and says, Kehanim Ulevim Peturim. Kehanim, Levim, they're exempt, which the assumption of the Gemara is going to be, as it seems to be from the series of the Mishnayos, that it's going on the previous halach of the previous Mishnah regarding Petach Hamer, that they're exempt from that law of Petach Hamer, which is redeeming it with a sheep. And it's Mekavel Chaymer. What's the Kavel Chaymer? In Patrei, if the Levim themselves, they exempted the firstborns Eshel Yisrael Bamidbar of the non-Kehanim in the Midbar, which the reading sounds like, that it was the body of the Levium that exempted the donkeys of the Jewish people, like as if they were the redemption of the donkeys of the Jewish people. So, if that's the interpretation, says the Mishnah, so dinu shiftu eshel atzman. If they themselves could exempt that of the Yisraelim in the Midbar, so themselves to exempt themselves isn't all the more so, and therefore they don't have this halacha of the Bechira. Now, the Gemara asks, as it contains them of Dalam and Aleph, so, are you telling me in Hu Patri that they themselves, the bodies of Levium, as we said, that's how the simple translation of the word sound like, that they exempt the Petach Hamors of the Yisraelim, and therefore they themselves are going to be exempted? But Adam Patr, we find in the Pasig that the Levium, the body of the people, the Levium, they exempted the firstborn's people. There's a laws of Bechir of Pidyon HaBen. And behema patra, it was the animals, specifically the sheep of the Levium, that exempted the animals, which were the donkeys, the firstborn donkeys of the Jewish people of the non-Kehanim. The Chassid says the pasuk Mamidbar. It says kachas Levium, take the Levium tachas b'chor b'vnei Yisrael, that they'll take the place. That's the redemption of the firstborns of the Jewish people. Ves behemas Levium, and let the animals of Levium be tachas behemtim, to take the place of the firstborn animals of the Jewish people. So how could it be like the simple translation of the Mishnah, as we had indicated, which sounds like that the Levium themselves are the redemption of the animals of the Bnei Yisrael? Some Abaye says, no, you're right, Hachakama. This is how you have to read the Mishnah. Kehanim Levium Peturim Behemtam Mikal V'chaymer. Yes, it's a continuation of the theme of the previous Mishnah. The Petr Chamorim, the firstborn donkeys of the Kam Levium, are exempt from having to be redeemed, as the laws of Bechaira, from a Kal V'chaymer. What's a Kal V'chaymer? If the animals of the Levium, specifically their seh, their sheep, was excluded and redeemed, behemah shel Yisrael b'midbar, did not require anything to be done with the petach hamor, that animal of the non-Kehanim in the Midbar, so dinu shetefkiyah, so obviously logic would then dictate and tell you that then their own animals, their sheep, should exclude Eshalatzman, their own Petach Hamayis, and therefore they don't have to do anything with their Petach Hamayis, just like we see their sheep was exempted, the Petach Hamayis of the Yisraelim, so their own sheep exempts their own Petach Hamayis, and they don't have to do anything with their Petach Hamayis. However, on that interpretation, normally Rava says to Abaye, wait, Vahapatru, the wording of the Mishnah is that Kehan Levim are Peturim, why? Because Impatru, that's Inu Katani. That's going on themselves. If they went and they exempted the Yisrael Bamidbar, it sounds like it's going on the Levium themselves, not the way you're interpreting that it's going on their animals. Void, moreover, question number two asks Rava, Im Isa, if it's true the way you're explaining the Mishnah, that we're expounding a Kavel Chaymer, not regarding the Levium themselves, as Rava seems to indicate from his first question. No, but rather you're saying the Kavel Chaymer is going on their animals, that they don't have to redeem their Petach Hamayis, their firstborn donkeys, because their own sheep exempts their own donkeys, then Afilim Ebechay Behem Tahayra Nifteru, then Levim should even be exempt from redeeming the firstborn, not only of the non-kosher animal, which is specifically that of the donkey, but even from the kosher animals, which is different animals that have the laws of the Bechayr, because their own kosher animals, which is the sheep, is what exempted the non-kosher animals of the non-Kehanim. So we see that their animals exempted, so then it should work on their own animals too. So Allah Matanan, why do we learn the Mishnah in the second paragraph of Yud-Gimel Aleph that says, Loi niftru mebuchar behem etayra, although our Mishnah says they're exempted from the laws of Bukhar, they were not exempted from the laws of redeeming the firstborn animals of a kosher animal, Ela mepinya ben, only they don't have the laws of redeeming the firstborn son in the human. Upetach amar, and they don't have the obligation of redeeming the firstborn donkey. But behemoth tyre they do. But why? Then extend the kal v'chaimer. If you're extending it even to animals, then this should even apply to kosher animals too. Why are they only exempted according to your logic from petach amar? If their own sheep went and exempted the Yisraelim's donkeys, so let it work on their own sheep, on their own, that it should exempt itself. So Elam Rava, rather Rava gives a different interpretation. He says no, there is no kal v'chaimer of the animals themselves. And his proof is from the fact, as we're going to shortly quote, that we had to compare the laws of the firstborn non-kosher animal, that of a donkey, to the laws of the firstborn of humans, where the Brisa says, whatever does not apply by Bechor Adam does not apply by Bechor Behemoth Tameya. So from there we could obviously infer that regarding animals, and so too regarding the kosher animals, we cannot expound and understand it from a kal v'chaimer. Rather, he says, Hachigitani, this is what the Mishnah is talking about. Again, not regarding animals, because that we don't have a kal v'chaimer for. Rather, kahanim ulevim, and the Gemara says peturin hein atzman. They themselves, yes, the human element, they're exempt from pidyon haben. They don't have to redeem their firstborn sons, and that's kal v'chaimer. What's the kal v'chaimer? Im ifkia kedushah son. If the regular sanctity of shalavim, of the regular levim that were non-b'chayru, they excluded Kiddush, and the Gemara says, Kiddush Shasun Shal Yisrael Ben Midbar, the sanctity of the firstborns of the Jewish, of the non-Kalim in the Midbar. So, Lo Yafkiyu Eshal Atzman? So, shouldn't it exempt their own obligations? Meaning, logic would dictate that their own firstborns should exclude their own obligation of redemption. As the Gemara is going to say later on, that the firstborn Levim, they didn't redeem the firstborn of the Israel. It was a regular Levim, the amount of Levim that they were took the place of the firstborns, and they took over the Avodah of the Israelim. But what with the Bechorim themselves, they took over their own obligations of Bechorim, and that was transferred into the element that they're a Levi, that they're a Kain. So that is the kal v'chaimer of our Mishnah, that there's no chiv of Pidya Ben, but not like Abaya, that there's no chiv of Pidya Petach Amar. Now, then the question is, okay, but then Ashkechan Adam. So according to Rava's interpretation, you find the source, like our Mishnah is saying, regarding that they're not obligated in Pidyon HaBen. But Behemet Tamei Menolan, how do we know that the Kam are exempt also from Pidyon Petach Hamor, from exempting the firstborn donkey? That I'm a crow, because the Pasuk says, Bemidbar, Ach Podei Tiftes Bachar Adam. This is the verse that we just alluded to before, that however they shall surely redeem the firstborn of their sons, and also the firstborn of the non-kosher animal, which refers to the donkey, they should also redeem. Which teaches in the comparison of these two halachas in the pasuk is kol sheyeshne bebuchar adam, whoever applies to the laws of the redeeming the firstborn son, yeshne bebuchar behemet tamei, has the law of redeeming the petach amar. V'chol she'eino bebuchar adam, whoever does not apply to the laws of the firstborns of man, like kahan levim, and there with, as we said from the Mishnah, according to Rava, that we're exempting them from a kal v'chaimer, so they don't have the law either of the firstborn of the non-kosher animal, which, according to Rava, that's essentially what you could say for our Mishnah, that it is a continuation of the topic of our parak of our first Mishnah, which is, we know from the laws of exempting them from Bechor Adam, that's how we know that they're also exempt from the topic of our parak of Pidyon Petach Hamor. However, Amalei Rav Safra L'Abaya, Safa asked Habayin, and he says, Lididach, according to you, the first interpretation that we said in the Mishnah, the Amrit Behemtam, that you said that the understanding of our Mishnah was even saying regarding animals, that we're going to say a kal v'chaimer. That we were saying that from kal v'chaimer we can know that the Kan Levim are exempt from the laws of Pidyon Petach Hamor. If that's the case, so then he says as follows. So Ben Levi, the Havaleisa, so a Levi that in the Midbar, in the times when the Jewish people were in the desert, if he had a sheep, where da'afka, then, as we said, his sheep, as the Pasuk says, is what exempted the Petach Hamor, the firstborn donkeys that the Israelim had in the Midbar. So then we could understand that Lifka. So then, okay, so his sheep could exclude and exempt his own donkeys. Because like you said, that's a kal v'chaimer. If it worked on the Israelim, so for sure it should work for themselves. But that should then come out to Loihavale said Lifka. If a Levi did not have a sheep to exempt the donkeys of Yisraelim, then Loi Lifka, then his own donkeys should not be exempted because now you don't have the kal v'chaimer. The only kal v'chaimer he was saying, look, if he works for others, for sure he should work for himself, but that's only if he's working for others. If he doesn't have a seh, then actually his petach hamar, which is not recorded, should have been redeemed too. Additionally, Rav Safra continues to ask, and he says, Bein Ledidach and Bein Lerav. He says, my next question is both difficult on yours and Rav's interpretation. Well, you both expounded that the Kavol Chaim of Yisroel applies also to exempting them from the laws of Pidyon HaBen HaBechor Adam. Because as Rashi explains, the reason why he's asking that also on Abai, even though Abai was only talking about regarding Petach Hamar, and Rav is who says the Kavol Chaim is regarding Bechor Adam, is because since you're expounding regarding Behemoth Ashur, it's going to be exemption regarding Adam. Because additionally, if you're not going to expound the Kavol Chaim, then where do you know that they're exempt from the laws, as we see that they're exempt from the laws of Bechor Adam? So since you expounded through a Kavol Chaim, so then you could ask, so then a Levi that was a firstborn, that was Ben Chaydish, that was 1 month old at that time, where they had redeemed the Yisraelim, they took the place of the Becheres of the Yisraelim. Where you find parallel regarding a regular Levi that was 1 month old that wasn't the Becher, yeah, the Afka, that he went and he exchanged and took away the sanctity of the Becheres of the Bnei Yisrael, because the Levium, they were counted, which the added amount took the place of the firstborns of the Jewish people, for when they were 1 month and old, as the Pasuk says, Medbid Begimel, Bimen Chaydish Amal, that we counted if they were at least 1 month old. So then, Lifka, so then if a Levi himself that's a Bechar, he, if he's 1 month old, that makes sense that he could exempt himself from a Kavol Chaim. Because if the regular Levi that 1 month old exempted the sanctity of Bechar Yisrael, so for sure when a Levi himself is 1 month old, even though he's a Bechar, he could take away his obligation of redeeming himself. But if you have a Bechar that was Pachas Meben Chaydish, that was less than 1 month old, Doloi Afka, that the equivalent of a regular Levi, would not have exempted the Kedusha of a Bechar Yisrael, where we see he was not counted, you only counted to then exempt that obligation of Bechar Yisrael from 1 month old, then the halacha should be Loi Lifka. Then if that Levi Bechar is less than 1 month old, he should not exempt his own sanctity. So why don't we find anywhere in the Torah that the Bechari Levim that were in the Midbar, less than 1 month old, had to redeem themselves with kesef too, with money, because no person took their place, because they couldn't take their own place, because you don't have the Kavol Chaim, they were not older than 1 month. Additionally, he asks a third question. He says, Levia, a bas Levi, if her father was a Levi, and she married a Yisrael, and she gave birth to her firstborn, loy tifka, they should not be able to preclude and exempt the sanctity of the firstborn on her son. Why? Because the Levim that have this Kavol Chaim, which everything starts from, that the Levim, oh, if they did it for the Yisrael, they should work for themselves. The only ones that were counted in that count who took the place of the Bechari Yisrael were males. Females were not included in that count to take the place of the firstborns of the Yisraelim. So then, Alom Amar Avada Barava, so we're saying, Loitifka, so then it should not exclude it when he himself is a Bechar. If his only mother is a Levi, but his father is Israel, should not preclude it because you don't have the Kavol Chaim. Then he says Leviya Shayolda, if his mother is a Bas Levi and she gives birth to her firstborn, but not Potem Chamishlam, her firstborn son is exempt from the Pidyon HaBen. Why? You don't have the Kavol Chaim. On that, the Gemara says, Nahalei Kasha. If you're coming to ask specifically because of gender differences, that's not a difficulty. Because Kedemar Bereid Rav Yisrael Meshmei Derav Da'amah, that he said, the Torah says the laws of the firstborn are Peter Rechem, that which is first to come out of the womb. Which should be Peter Rechem, Tal Rechem, the Torah is making it dependent on that which comes out of the womb, that gives the sanctity of the firstborn. Now, since the womb of this child is coming out of a Leviah, his mother is from Shevet Levi, so we go after the mother regarding the laws of the Pidyon of the five Slum, which you're not obligated because there is an element of Levi over there. So therefore, essentially what the Gemara is answering on that question is, if we're going to find that all Levium in general are exempt, even those that were less than 1 month old in the Midbar, which essentially that doesn't have the Kavol Chaim, but as we're going to shortly explain, we have a source for that. So then don't ask, on the gender differences, because that's not a difficulty, because to the contrary, the primary sanctity is from the womb, and therefore the female, the mother, is actually going to have just as much a role in regarding exempting from the laws if she's a Leviah from Pidyon HaBen. But he continues asking, okay, that's not a difficulty. But Va'aron Shalahoyi Ba'isa Minyan. Aaron was not included in that count of the amount of Levium from Shevet Levi that were exempting the Yisraelim, not him, not his animals, where he did not exempt any firstborns of the Bnei Yisrael. So Loi Lifka, so actually his own firstborn donkeys should not have been exempted because you don't have the Kavol Chaim. The time, like we learned the Braisa, that he was not in the count, says, Lama nokar ala Aaron shebechumash ha-pikudim. Why was Aaron's name have dots on it in Sefer Bamidbar? Shlohayi ba'isamin, to say he was not in that count when he was counting his whole shevet. So you don't have the kabbalchem, you have all these questions. So on that, the Gemara gives one answer that answers all the questions. Because Amakra, the Pasuk says, Halavim, the Levim, which puts it into one category. Hukshukal Levim, Zelazah, all Levim are compared one to the other. So you're right, although the kabbalchemer does not apply to every situation, like for example when it's less than 1 month old, or if he didn't have a sheep, but still, since we have the kabbalchemer, which is what? That the Levi exempted the Israelim, so Beshor exempts for himself, so then all Levim are compared to that element, and they all will exempt themselves even less than a month, and even if they didn't have a sheep. Now, but Kahanim and Olam, how do you know regarding Kahanim? That says only Levim, how do you know Kahanim too? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shuban Levi, then Rabbi Shuban Levi says, Be'esem va'arba mekaymeis nikro kan Levim. Although Levim and Kahanim both come from Shevet Levi, just Aaron became the Kahanim, his descendants, and Moshe Rabbeinu were Levim, and the rest, but ultimately Levim are called from Moshe Levi, and the Kahanim are called Kahanim, but still says the Gemara, there's 24 places that Kahanim are called Levim. V'zechemem, and this is one of them where it says, Necheskel v'akahanim ha-Levim b'nei Tzadik. You see, they were Kahanim, the sons of Tzadik, and they're called Levim, because they're also called Levim, and therefore they're also included in this comparison, comparing all of them to each other, and therefore that Kavuchemer will apply even to those that don't have that Kavuchemer, and therefore they themselves will be exempt, as we're saying that for sure regarding Pinya Ben, and then Abayi wants to take it further regarding the laws of our Mishnah, that the Kavuchemer will include also regarding Pinyan Petach Amar. Now, the Gemara continues and says, okay, but Uladaris Menolam, how do you know this law applies of exempting the firstborns of Kaham Levim? Also for future generations, for old time. Because from that Kavuchemer, we only learn that regarding what was in the Midbar. If it was working for the Israelim, for sure it's going to work for himself. But that only was that time in the Midbar. In future times, that's not how there's a Pidyon HaBen or Pidyon Petach HaMor. They have to do their own redemption. So how do we know that the Kaham Levim are forever exempt? So says the Gemara, I'm a crook, because the Pasuk said, my Midbar, b'hoyu li ha-Levim. Hashem says, to me will be the Levim, which they were taking the place of the Israelim. Now the word v'hoyu is b'haviyasin yihu. The word havaya, yiya, always hoya, it connotes that that's how it is, and that's how it will always be. And therefore, since they were exempt at that time, they're always exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben and Pinya Petach Amar. Now, however, the Gemara asks a question regarding an assumption we had on Naman Aleph. U'bemai debeseh, how do we know that it was the sheep of the Levim that's what exempted the firstborn donkeys of the Israelim, which as we see even in the Gemara's questioning it, it said, well, maybe only a Ben Levi that had a sheep, which is what exempted the Petach Hamoris of the Israelim, maybe only then his own donkey should be exempt. But if he doesn't have a sheep, which is not exempting, maybe he shouldn't. How do we know it was their sheep that exempted the firstborn donkeys of the Bnei Yisrael? So Amrav Chizki says, because Nemar Kesav L'Dairis, it says a halacha of redemption of the firstborn with money, as it says in Bamidbar Yitches, by the Bechair of the firstborn of man, says, that the redemption of the firstborn son is with Kesef. Now, it also says, meaning that's regarding all future generations, and also says the law of redeeming the firstborn donkey with the sheep, as it says in Shmoy Sid Gimel, V'chol Petach Hamor Tifta Beseh. That is the primary way of redeeming the firstborn donkey is by exchanging with a sheep and giving that to a kain. Now, so we have these two halachas of redemption of firstborns for old time. So we make the following comparison. Ma kesev amaladar is just like when it talks about kesev. It talks about it for future generations. The halacha is, by padladaris, that's what they redeem for old time. By padladaris, that was also what they redeemed at that time in the Midbar, because although the Levim took the place of the Bechari Yisrael, but like the Pasuk says of Midbar Gimel, there were some extra Bechairis that were not taking the place of Levim because there were more Bechairis. So it says, V'lkach t'chameshesh, chameshesh kum l'gagos. They had to take 5 silver coins for each head of every Yisrael Bechair that was not redeemed with a Levi. So you see that the same Kesev is what works in the future, what was then. So Avsal, I'm Ladaris. So therefore that tells us also that regarding sheep, that's for old time, Baipad Ladaris. In future generations, that's what the Yisrael himself exchanges his firstborn donkey with the sheep and gives it to the kain. And by part, by Sasha, that means to say that was also what was used at that time in history in the Midbar, which was the same thing that the Levims, their sheep, took the place of the firstborn donkeys of the Yisrael. However, in this comparison of Binyan Ab, the Gemara asks, wait, Malik Kesev, how could you compare it to the laws of Kesev, of Pinya Ben? Shekein poidim by hekdeshes. It's a stronger element where we find that kesev is what could be used to redeem something from hekdesh, like the pasuk says, "Vikachav zayin v'mamakdesh yigul as beisoy." It says, "V'yosef chamishes kesev erkach alav," that he would redeem hekdesh with kesev. U'maaser sheni, we also find the laws of the second tithes, where if someone doesn't want to bring up all his second tithe to Yerushalayim, it says, "V'nasata b'kesev," that you'd exchange it with kesev. So therefore, we find that there's a strong element in kesef of redemption. So therefore, yes, maybe we'd say that was redeemed the firstborn sons in the midbar, just like it works for future generations. In contrast, by the sheep, but we don't find redeeming ma'aser sheni and hekdesh with that. Maybe it didn't work in the times of the midbar. How do we know it's the levim said it worked? So Ella rather says the Gemara because amakra. The pasuk says in the midbar, it says, "Ach padei tiftes b'char adam." However, surely they shall redeem the firstborn of man. V'sb'char behem atzmei tiftes, and also the firstborn of the non-kosher animal, the donkey, should also be redeemed. As we said before, the pasuk is equating these two halachas. So therefore, ma b'char adam, we're learning it just like the firstborn of man. Lo chalakta bein l'daris bein l'isashah b'kesef, that we don't do. There was no differentiation between that time in history and of old time, that it's always with kesef. So therefore that tells us regarding the non-kosher animal, the chamer, the donkey, that even at that time in history was also with the sheep. Again, not Yisrael's own sheep, but the sheep of the Levi. That's how we know it was his sheep that redeemed the firstborn donkey of the Yisrael. Now, on this idea, Omer Pchanina, he says, Se echad shel ben Levi. Actually, what you could have was even one sheep of a Levi was pater kame pitcher chamer Yisrael, was able to exempt many firstborn donkeys of Yisrael. It wasn't literally exactly one for one as it was in other situations. It could even be one sheep exempted many donkeys. And on my bay, he says, Teda, you should know that they didn't count how many firstborn sheep, how many firstborn animals there were to make sure it was exact count, because Shari Mana Hakasab ate from the Adam, because the Pasuk counts exactly how many extra people there were of the firstborns of the Israelim, of the Pinyaben, over that of the Levim, the Leimana ate from the Behema, and they didn't count how many extra there were in animals like they counted by people, which by people there was an extra 273, and therefore they had to redeem with money because they didn't have Levim taking their place. But animals doesn't say that, because animals didn't make a difference. One sheep could have exempted many firstborn donkeys. On this proof, the Gemara asked me, "My, what's the proof? Dimolai have an afishalu." No, maybe because there weren't that many for the Yisraelim, behemoth too, but so much behemoth, like the Levim. And maybe there wasn't any more extra animals that were not being redeemed by the animals of Levim. And therefore, that's why they didn't say they count. So the Gemara, no, Lysakadaka can't entertain that. There must have been way more animals by the Israel and then the Levim. And if it was only one for one, it would not have been, and you would have had extra that would have been mentioned. Because the Chassid of the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, says, "Mikner Rav, hoy lebnei Reuben lebnei Gad." Just even the tribes of Reuben and Gad, they had many, many livestock. So for sure that would have been more than Levim. But says the Gemara, but Dilma Falahachi, okay, but maybe even so. Maybe even though the sons of Reuben and Gad had so much livestock, but maybe they didn't have extra in animals that you should have, that their firstborn animals should be more than all the regular animals of Levim. Because Pshutim de Levim have a Kaimel Bahad Bachar Yisrael. It was the regular animals of Levim that every sheep took the place of the firstborns of the Israel. So how do you know it was one that took care of many of firstborns? No, maybe it was one for one, because it was only the firstborns of the Israel that needed to be replaced with even the regular sheep of the Levim. So the Gemara says, you're right, rather Amakra, the source of Pasuk. It says, "Ves behemes halavim tachas behemtem." The animal of the Levim took the place of their animals. So it says in the singular by the Levim and plural by the Israelim, which teaches us behema achas tachas behemes harbe. It was one animal by a Levi that could take the place of many animals of the Israel. Well, that is the Gemara, but the Amos say this, that it says behemes halavim, maybe it really means behemais in the plural. Because we find such a corollary in Nineveh when it says in Sefer Yaina, behema rabba, where although it's saying the word behema in the singular, but rabba means many. So you see that the word behema could mean many. And that says, no, im kain, but if that would be the case, that when it says behema, behemas of Levim, it meant many, so lichtav kra, then the pasuk should have said it's the same. Oy behema tachas behema, either behema tachas behema, oy behemtim tachas behemtim, or behem tachas behemtim. My behemas tachas behemtim. Why does it change it by Levi saying behemas and by the Israel saying behemtim? Shema menachad pater tuva. And then we could prove that it was one animal of the Levi that took the place of many animals, many firstborn donkeys of the Israel. Now, Amar Rava says, Afananam tinin, we also learned this concept in the Mishnah later on of Tesem et Alf. The Mishnah tells us, upay debay, that is, that the Israel could redeem with that sheep, pam harbe, many times, the firstborn donkeys. Meaning, if after he gave this sheep as the pidyon petach hamor to the kohen, then he goes and buys it back from the kohen after he gave it to him, so then he can go back and redeem again another petach hamor with that same sheep. Now, Reb Chanina, who he said this idea that it was one sheep of the Levim that exempted many petach hamors of the Israelim, time of the Mesnit Mefarish, he was actually coming to explain the reasoning of that halacha, that Mishnah. V'achakam, and this is what he was saying. My time of Poy Debab Pom Harba, why can you take the same sheep that you buy back from the Kohen and use it to exempt many more petach hamors? Mishum, the Se'echa Shal Ben Levi, Poy Debab Petach Hamor Mishal Yisrael, because the precedent in halacha, which was that time in the Midbar, that you had one sheep of the Levi that exempted many the firstborn donkeys of the Israel, and therefore you can do the same thing now when you buy back from the Kohen, use the same sheep from other petach hamors. Now, continuing on this topic regarding the laws of Bechiris in the Midbar, Sayyidina, we learned Rabbi Yechanan Amar, he says, Kitchu Bechiris be Midbar. The firstborns, which there's many halachas of firstborns, donkeys, people, animals, kosher animals, that there was the sanctification of the firstborns in the Midbar. Resh Lakish says, no, like Kitchu Bechiris, no, there was no sanctification of firstborns that were born by Midbar in the Midbar. So the Gemara explains their machlekes. Bechanami says, Kidru Bechariz by Midbar, the first ones were sanctified in the Midbar, which there's certain sanctities and laws for them. Drachman Amal Katrik, the Torah says to sanctify them. Ketiksev, the Pasuk says in Shmois, Kaddish Liko Bechariz, sanctify me every firstborn, which the Torah was given in the Midbar, and therefore for that whole time they had to be sanctified. Resh Lakish says, like Kidru Bechariz by Midbar. No, he says, no, the first ones that were born in the desert were not sanctified. Why? Because Mechsev, in the fact that it says in Pasuk in Shemais, it says, that when Hashem will bring you, like it says over there, to Eretz Kanani, to Eretz Yisrael, Uksib Basri, only after that does the Pasuk say, Vahavarta, that then you'll pass over every first of the womb, and you'll bring it as a gift to the Kayan. So Mechlal de Mikar, the inference is, obviously, that before you come to Eretz Yisrael, when they were still in the Midbar, then like Kaddish, they were not sanctified. And although Rabbi Yochanan brought the Pasuk, it says, Kaddish li kal bachar, that Hashem says, sanctify me every firstborn. So as we're going to see later on, Rish Lakish explains that those were those that were born in Mitzrayim. Those were sanctified. But in the Midbar, they were not sanctified from the fact that he says, it says first, ki biyacha, and only then, vavarta kol petarecha. Now, however, Eis Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish from Mishnah Masech Tzvachim. Mishnah says, Achlei hokam a Mishkan, until the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was not erected, so hayibam is mutaris, so the Jews in the Midbar, they were permitted to go ahead and everyone could build their own altar and sacrifice karbanos on it. Now, once the Mishkan was erected, then it's forbidden, like the Pasuk says in Mikud Zayin, Bel Pesach El Moed Lo Yibiyu, that you're not allowed to bring the carbon anywhere else but the El Moed. Additionally, Vavayde Bebechayris, who did Avayde on those bamas, on those private altars? It was the firstborns of the Jewish people that they did the karbanos. From that point onwards, when they had the Mishkan, then it was the Kahanim who took the place. But one thing you see is that the firstborns were sanctified in the Midbar. They did the Avayde on the bamas. Amalei, so that Rish Lakish said to him, no, ba'isin shayotzim in Mitzrayim. Yeah, they were firstborns, but those were ones that were already sanctified in Egypt. In the Midbar, the firstborns were not sanctified. And it says the Gemara Hachanam Mistabra. Actually, it's logical the way Rish Lakish is answering. Because the Ilei Temahachik, because if you don't say like this, and rather you say like Rabbi Yochanan wanted to ask, it's actually referring to the firstborns that were born in the Midbar, but Ben Shana Bar Mi'avad Avaydu, could a one-year-old do that Avaydu? The building of the Mishkan was a year after they left Mitzrayim. So the bamas were for that first year. So what, a baby who was born in the Midbar is doing the Avodah? Obviously, we're talking about those that were sanctified already in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, you're right, the Karila, my Karila. So Rav Yechanu asked it, what was he thinking to ask? Obviously, it couldn't have been a baby born that he was doing the Avodah on the bamas. Says Gemara Nehachik Kukashli, this is what he was asking. If you say Dilei Pasik Kedusha Sayu, that the sanctity of the firstborns, that they didn't stop, meaning that even those born in the Midbar, they were continuously sanctified throughout their 40-year sojourn in the Midbar. So then you could say, then Hanach de Mikara, that also those that were from before that were born in Mitzrayim, then Namir Lepaka Kedusha Sayu, that their sanctity of firstborn were also not discontinued when they came into the Midbar. But Eliyamr Tapasik Kedusha Sayu, but if you say that sanctification of the firstborn stopped when they came into the Midbar, so Hanach de Mikar, Nami Pakalik Kedusha Sai, so Birkan held, and then that logic would then dictate also that then those that were even previously already sanctified would have stopped once they came into the Midbar. So obviously that if they were doing that Avodah in the Bama, that even those that were born in the Midbar were also sanctified. Whereas V'idach, Rish Lakish would tell you, no, the Kaddish, those that were already sanctified, they retained it. So like Kaddish, those that didn't have it yet were not then sanctified that when they were born in the Midbar. But Esvei continues asking from the following Brayso on Rish Lakish. Eis Hayim Shukam HaMishkan says, that day that the Mishkan was erected, Karvu lehem, the Girsa takes out the base, Yisrael, the Jewish people brought the following karbanas. Nedarim, Nedavis, which were vows and donations, Chatois, Vashamis, guilt offerings and sin offerings, Bechairis, Umaisus, firstborn animal sacrifices, and Maisus, which is Maisa Behemoth, the tenth animal from the new flock. So you see that in the Midbar, they were bringing Bechairis. You see, obviously, it was sanctification of Bechairis. Says Rish Lakish, no hachanami, but in Mitzrayim. Here also we're talking about the firstborn animals they had in Mitzrayim. Then there was the sanctification of Bechair, but in the Midbar they didn't. And moreover, says Rish Lakish, umina, to the contrary, from this brace that you're bringing, I actually can prove that they did not sanctify the firstborns in the Midbar. Because the brace says that day they brought the Bechairis. Now, the inference is, only that day they sacrificed Bechairis. Obviously, that from that day on, that moving throughout the rest of the time they were for the 40 years in the Midbar, that they didn't bring any Bechairis. Only that first day did they bring Bechairis, because they were bringing the Bechairis that were born in Mitzrayim. Now, as Tosafot points out, what I mean, although all those other cases, Nedarim and Nedavim, they did bring those 40 years, but when it's saying Eisayim, it's going on the case of Bechairis. And only that day did they bring it, and not the rest, because actually, like Rish Lakish holds, because they did not sanctify Bechairis in the Midbar. And actually, Iker Darmi, those that say, there was actually in the reverse, that Eis Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Shlakish had used this brisa to ask on Rabbi Yechanan. It says in the brisa, Eisayim Shehukam HaMishkan, that day that they erected the Mishkan, Karvel Lehem Yisrael, the Jewish people brought the following karbanas, the Darm and the Davis, Chatois, Vashamis, Bechairis, and Maisus. So one thing you see, says Rish Lakish, is Eisayim in. Only that day that did they bring Bechairis. From that point onward, they didn't. Obviously, because it was not sanctifying the firstborn animals. Says Rabbi Yechanan, no. Eimim Mo'isayim Ve'elech. No, when it says that day, it means from that day and onward. So my kamash malon, what are we teaching when it says that day? It means ma'isa yamin from that day on, meaning me'ikara loy, that the exclusion is not to the future, but actually from the past. Beforehand, they did not bring the Bechairis, because although they had their private bamas, you were not able to bring the Bechairis on the private altars, because an obligatory carbon like a Bechair cannot be sacrificed on the private altar. Where Alma, what we see from that, the Brice is coming to teach, is that chayvis bebama, like carb, obligatory carbonas cannot be sacrificed on the private altar. That's what it's excluding. But not for the future, because they actually did bring Bechairis, because they were sanctified, says Rabbi Yechanan, in the Midbar. But Tashma, the Gemara continues asking Rish Lakish from the following Brice. Brice says, comes out that you say, there were three places that the firstborns were sanctified for the Jewish people. And we're saying sanctified. You have B'Mitzrayim in Egypt, Uba Midbar in the desert. That's the question on Rish Lakish. You see, they were sanctified in the desert. Ubechnisas in Yisrael Aretz, and when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael. Where do we find? Because B'Mitzrayim, what does it say in Egypt? Hashem says, it says in Shemais, Kadosh Likol B'char, sanctify me every firstborn. And that was in Mitzrayim. B'midbar ho'aymer, when they were in the desert, as it says in Sefer B'midbar, Hashem says, Keli kol b'char b'vnei Yisrael, for me is every firstborn of the Jewish people. And b'chnisasim la'aretz ho'aymer, we find that also when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, it says in Shemais, b'hai kiviyacha v'avarta, that when they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, then you'll make the law of pidyon, of the redeeming the firstborn. So you see that there was sanctification in the Midbar. Adam Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no. B'shleishim ha'koyim is, huzru ala b'chayris l'kadosh. You're right. In three places, they were warned, they were commanded regarding the sanctification of the firstborns. But for like culture, it's not that they were sanctified in those places. And the truth is, even in the Midbar, when they were told to sanctify the firstborns, the actual sanctification only happened when they went to Eretz Yisrael. That says the Gemara, what? So he's saying those three places they were only commanded and not sanctified? Ubi Mitzrayim, Nami Lo Kaddish? What? In Mitzrayim, they were not sanctified? But we said before that everyone agrees, Hakarmina the Kaddish, that those that were born in Mitzrayim were sanctified. That's it. It says, no, this is what the Bryce was saying. Mehen kachru, mehen like kachru. Yes, they were warned in all three places. Some places they were sanctified, some places not. In Mitzrayim they were, and in the Midbar they were not. But Maskelar Papa continues to ask on Rish Lakish's interpretation. He says, in Midbar like kachru, what, in the desert they were not sanctified? But Vaksev, the Pasuk says, in Midbar, Bekoid kol b'char zoch l'bnei Yisrael. Count every firstborn male of the Jewish people. Which, as it says, mi ben chaydush umala, that was from 1 month and older. Now, someone at that time, as the pasuk is talking about there in Sefer Bamidbar, if he's 1 month old, he was most definitely born in the Midbar, because this story of the counting took place in the second year, and we're having that the count is of the firstborns, and they were counting them when they were a month old. So you see that they were being considered as a bechor, and they were being sanctified, even though they were born in the Midbar. So the Gemara says, you're right. If we're going to say this machlekes, it has to be as follows. Bichnama, he says, Kachu, it was then, as we find, even in the second year, that the firstborns were sanctified. Voloi Pasku, and they didn't stop being sanctified for the rest of the 40 years. Resh Lakish, he says, you're right, from the pasuk we just brought, Kachu, obviously, we're saying a month, 1 month old was considered like a Bechor, and they were considered from that count. And that was in the second year, obviously, that they were sanctified even in the Midbar. But that was only then. That's a continuing type of Heman Av, Baru Pasku. But from that time when they made that count in Sefer Ben Midbar and onward, then they stopped sanctifying for the rest of the travel in the Midbar, the firstborn. Now, so the Gemara says, Bishlam Rish Lakish, you understand the Pin Rish Lakish, Kadamatam. He gives his reasoning why he makes this differentiation, because we have another pasuk. It says, it's only when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and then Vavarta, then you can have the laws of the sanctification of the firstborn. But what's the reason that he holds that it was even throughout the time they had in the Midbar, even before they went to Eretz Yisrael? So Amar Belaza, he says, I saw Rabbi Yechanan in my dream. That means I'm going to say a good shtickle Torah, I'm going to say a good explanation. Amakra, the pasuk says, Li yiyu, for me they shall be, and we said this idea before, Bahavi yasniyu, that means to say they shall always be as they are, which is if they were sanctified, the firstborn, then they will always be sanctified. And therefore, it didn't stop throughout their 40 years in the Midbar. But then the Gemara asks, okay, Rabbi Yechanan, Vahoy kebiyacha, this that it says, okay, when you'll come into Eretz Canaan, then Vavarta, then you'll have the law of the firstborn. So my Avalei, what does he do with that pasuk? Says the Gemara, needs it to teach a different concept that taught in the Brisa of the Yeshiva Bishmal. Asay mitzvah zu, what the pasuk is saying is, fulfill this mitzvah of the firstborn, shevishvila tikkun es la'aretz, that through that, because of that, you'll enter into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the pasuk has them two near each other. Yes, the coming into Eretz Yisrael has to do with the redeeming of the firstborn. Not that that's when it started, but if you fulfill the laws of Bechiris, which actually was even in the times of the Midbar, like Rabbi Yechon holds, that's actually going to cause you to be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, he says, Atun hachimas nitula. You had this whole Gemara's discussion from the previous daf, the way it was mentioned. But Anan ipchamas nitula, we actually learned that Machlik is the exact opposite. Rabbi Yechon Amar loy kach b'chares b'midbar. He was the one who says that the first ones were not sanctified in the Midbar. Resh Lakish Amar kach b'chares b'midbar. And Resh Lakish was the one who says that the first ones were sanctified in the Midbar. So Amaleis Rav Ashi said back to him, "What va'afkes nami tiyufta? So are you also going to also turn over all the refutations? Meaning, we have it, Rabbi Yechon asking all the questions." And because all their questions are difficult, and the one who says like kachu. So now that you have the opposite opinions, you're going to say that it was Resh Lakish's questions on Rabbi Yechanan, and also Vavchisulah Lahad Rabbi Laza. You're going to switch around that this statement Resh Lakish that Rabbi Laza had said, and instead of saying he saw Rabbi Yechanan in the dream, you can say he saw Resh Lakish in the dream, and that he was resolving the teaching of Resh Lakish, which his interpretation was resolving it for the one who says that they were sanctified all these in the Midbar. Now the difficulty with that is that Rabbi Laza was a student of Rabbi Yechanan. So it makes sense that he was answering for Rabbi Yechanan, but the way you're saying it, he's resolving it for Resh Lakish's opinion. So Amalei, so he said to him, no, he says, this that I said, that Loi Kichu, that Rabbi Yechanan said that the Bechiris were Loi Kichu in the Midbar, what I was saying was, Loi Hutzuchu Likadish, that they don't have to be sanctified. Meaning, if someone wanted to bring that animal as a carbon, he does not have to sanctify it like a regular chulin animal, because they are already sanctified from the moment that they're born. Which actually is the same thing as our version, that according to Rabbi Yechanan, they already were sanctified because they had the Kedusha of Bechayr in the Midbar. And it was Resh Lakish who was saying like that they were not sanctified, and therefore you would have to sanctify. That's what it means, kachu. So then they asked him, well, Ihach, if that's what you're saying, that's exactly what we're saying, what are you telling me then? Kamash Mlan, this says the Gemara, that's what he's coming to tell him, because Chayiv Adam Leima B'Lashon Rabbi, a person has to go ahead and say it in the same vernacular that his teacher said it. So though, yeah, they were saying the same interpretation, even so, he wanted to tell it to him in the way that he had learned it, because a person has to say it the way he heard it from his teacher.